Well, I promised you we would talk about women in film. And Women in Film has been around for 8 years. The Port Townsend Film Festival itself has been around for 22 years. For 12 of those years, Jeanette Force has been the director of this festival, and you've heard her many times here on KPTZ. And we followed her into the street on the opening day of the Fall Film Festival for many years, welcoming basically all the film people who are here for the festival coming down the street in hot rod cars supplied by the Rakers Car Club. It's always a great spectacle having all the people come to town. The festival is really one of the major parts of life in Port Townsend. And, of course, last year and this year, it has to be virtual. And that changes things. We all look forward to the return of the in-person festival. Probably will not be until next year. Because at this point, Women in Film is all virtual. And the Fall Festival in late September is planned to be virtual. Also, as the year progresses, we'll see how things go in terms of maybe having some public events, possibly the outdoor films on Taylor Street. No, it's not sure yet. But Women in Film Festival, Women and Film, starts this Friday. And I wanted to have a conversation with Jeanette Force about the lineup. There's 18-plus films as part of the festival. And unlike the in-person festivals where you know the routine, if you've been there, you have to go wait in line ahead of time to get a numbered pass in order to get an admission ticket so that organizes the crush if there are more people than the theater can hold. We don't have to do that during a virtual festival. You don't have to choose perhaps five films. I think, as Jeanette says, I think you used to be able to pick about five films to see during the festival. Now you can see all of them because the festival runs online from this Friday through May 2nd. So in this conversation with Jeanette recorded a couple days ago, we were talking about the difference in the virtual film festival and the in-person film festival in terms of waiting in line to get into the theater and the range of films you get to see. So, Jeanette Force, Women in Film, 2021.
You know, Larry, I think that's one of the silver linings, if there are any, from COVID. The opportunity for people who weren't able to stand in line or didn't feel like they wanted to, you can see everything now. Whereas before at Women in Film, you had to choose. You only got to see five things. Now you can see everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, last year we made this festival free. Mm-hmm. This year, there will be a charge, but it's nominal. And we did that because we know people are hurting. And more than that, we really know that these filmmakers need our support and they want to share their work with us.
Mm-hmm. Of course, the circuit for filmmakers and their festivals now and promoting their film is a total virtual circuit. I mean, just about every festival there is gone virtual. When I talk to people who make films, they talk about, I've been in this festival and this festival and this festival, and they're back to back and they're all virtual. Yeah.
And again, that's a really good example. Right now, they can have their films in multiple festivals and they can pre-record their interviews so they can be there for all mm-hmm. of those opportunities mm-hmm. too. So there are some benefits for these filmmakers mm-hmm. and we're excited to share those with you mm-hmm. because these are films you'd never see anywhere else.
Yeah. As in other virtual festival years, it seems like it's been going on a long time. It's only been a year. But do you have interviews with the filmmakers as you often do?
Every single film is accompanied by an interview. And there is a program I'm especially fond of. It's called How We See Ourselves. Hmm. And of the five films that are included, we have a film representative for four of them. And that conversation, and a perfect example, I had a woman in Toronto who made a film called Feelings of Invisibility about a woman that she met who is silent, quadriplegic. But this woman has learned to type and can communicate beautifully. She is also a painter, and you see her work in the film. And she also takes us to a strip club. So this wonderful woman who had cerebral palsy at birth You know, it slowed her down, but it didn't stop her from becoming the remarkable artist that she is. That director, Charmaine, was able to have a conversation with a fellow who has adopted the name Patagonia, but his name is Wynn. And Wynn Patty is a drag king, but his passion is ocean plastics and making people aware of that. So we meet him in a short film about ocean plastics in Hawaii specifically. But for him to have a conversation with the woman who was working with a quadriplegic and talking mm-hmm. about what it is that we learn about ourselves when we are working to put ourselves forward. How do we see ourselves? Mm-hmm. So the perspective of these films just gets more and more interesting as you meet the directors. There's another one included called Miss Curvy, which I found very interesting because, you know, after COVID, I'm kind of in that line. But this is a beauty pageant for women of size in Uganda. And there was quite a controversy about whether or not women who are very heavy should be involved in a beauty pageant. Well, the filmmaker is from London, but her parents are Egyptian, and she wears a hijab. So the London film school that she attended, they were very reluctant to send this young woman to Uganda to make this film, which was already controversial. So talking with her about that and how she sees herself as an artist and how these women of size see themselves, it's just marvelous. It's like a mirror within a mirror within a mirror. Yeah.
That's a theme that it's wonderful to follow the festival over the years, both festivals. And that's a major theme that's always there, really. It's people coming forward and expressing themselves in ways that we're not used to receiving, not used to seeing people do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, a great example is Feeling Through, which has really gotten such acclaim now.
Isn't it exciting watching the Oscar run up?
Right. Yeah, it's actually nominated for an Academy Award short, which will be on Sunday the 25th. That film, you know, was about a blind, deaf person working, integrating, and having a relationship with a speaking, hearing person and following their relationship. And it was performed by a real blind, deaf actor, which is a first. And again, it's talking about people that we pass over, that we don't interact with because it's difficult.
And the other side of that, of course, is a film like Acting, The First Six Lessons. Mm-hmm. Now that came to us because our friend Bo Bridges, who was our special guest a number of years ago, actually told me my daughter Emily and I just finished a play and we decided to make a film about it. And we'd really like you to see it and tell us what you think. And it was just perfect for women in film. So it's the two of them using a play that they wrote, but then it's also them in conversation with his brother, Jeff Bridges. And then they found archival footage of his father, Lloyd Bridges, and they're all talking about the process, the art of acting, and how it affects us as human beings, both to witness and to participate. Mm-hmm. So that opportunity is just marvelous to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, the nature of this long running, very beloved festival by attendees leads to those kind of connections where they come back and they give us tips on what's coming next or what they're working on and they want to share it with us. I don't know how many film artists and creators that we've seen over the years that have come back on that basis.
Well, that's another one. There's a beautiful film called Killing Eleanor, and it's one of my favorites. It's hard to find a good narrative these days, and this one just knocked my socks off. Mm-hmm. And it stars and was written by Annika Marx. And she was at our festival back in 2017 with a film called Grace. And that was about a woman who was an alcoholic. And at the time, it was very new to portray a woman on screen as an alcoholic, a dysfunctional alcoholic. Well, Annika has continued to explore the role of addiction and how it affects families. Mm-hmm. And Killing Eleanor, which is directed by her husband, Rich Newey, looks at a woman she's a recovering addict from OxyContin and other pills, but she needs clean urine to be able. And can you say that on the radio?
Yeah, sure you can. Sure
okay.
you can.
Yeah, she needs a clean pee test. And she hears about an elderly woman who, you know, this elderly woman is finished with life and wants to end her life and wants help. And so they trade. Eleanor will provide the good pee test. And in trade for that, this young drug addict will help her with her quest to end her life in a way that she wants. And it's not quite as heavy as it sounds. It's actually got pretty great humor. But what I really loved about it is you see her family, and anybody who's ever dealt with addiction knows that addiction is a family illness. It's not just the individual. And Annika is masterful as Natalie, as you watch her carrying on her addiction with her mother, with her father, with her sister, in her world. It's a fabulous film. And it opens up some pretty important conversations. My conversation with she and her husband, Rich, also included their brand new baby, which was also cool.
Great. So you did the conversations with
I did all of these interviews. For a smaller festival, it's just easier for me to manage my time.
Well, that's great. So when you sign up to view the film, you will see the interview before or after the film?
After the film, but you can watch it whenever. When you unlock a film, you get two links there that you'll see. And one is the title of the film and one says interview for the film.
Great.
Now, another film I wanted to really make sure people get to see, and it's a little confusing. Filmmakers don't always choose unique titles. And this is a perfect example. This one is called The Big Scary S Word. And this
when I think about it, though, when I heard that, I thought there's a number of films that have had the L word, the D word, and this is the S word. And I think there was even previously another S word. But
There was the S word, which was about suicide. But this one is about the most scary S word of all, socialism. And I am telling you, this is the best educational film you will ever see. And I am working hard to get a link to this film for all of the schools to use, because it is such an important example of my lack of education, certainly, because the socialism in America started when the abolitionists left the East Coast and gathered in Wisconsin to talk about what they would do to stop slavery from spreading as the West opened up. And they were at the little schoolhouse, and who's there with them but Abraham Lincoln. And this is how all of the other things happened involving slavery. It was the democratic socialists that continued to inform our society about a lot of things. I mean, the entire platform that became the New Deal came from the Democratic Socialists. Walt Whitman, Albert Einstein, Martin Luther King, all of them identified with socialism.
And then how it's been morphed, especially in the last election.
It's been demonized in a very bad way. Is why they chose that title. Because they knew if they included the word socialism, no one would see the film. I'm very excited about this. And Yael Bridge was actually on another shoot, so I met with her film editor instead, who was absolutely wonderful. And I think you'll really enjoy the interview as well.
There is an outrage on the part of the people, Mr. Chairman, that is not necessarily perceived here in Congress.
We believe in democracy. The problem with the word socialism is that it's been equated with totalitarianism.
I'm 30. I was born in 87. I don't remember the Berlin Wall falling. The Red Scare, anybody who uses the big scary S word is automatically Stalin. It doesn't work anymore.
We've got thousands of teachers who've come to this building demanding answers.
When you can't do your job without having to have a second job, which I have, to pay the bills, that's bull.
Democratic socialism is the value that in a modern, moral, and wealthy society, no person in America should be too poor to live.
Our job is to change the world in the United States of America.
It's possible.
Of course, you don't shy away from very difficult topics. I noted the I Am Jane Doe. That's a tough subject that we the world has to deal with and the world is struggling to deal with.
Well, and it's interesting too, Larry, because Mary Mazzio, the director, was a woman that I met last year during the festival with a film called A Most Beautiful Thing about a black rowing team from Chicago. Mm-hmm. And in my interview with her, she said, you know, I guess one of the films I'm the most proud of, its impact was I Am Jane Doe. So I looked into it and I called her and asked for permission to include it in our programming. And she said, well, you know, it would be great because one of the mothers that's featured in the film is local. At the time that we were speaking, we hoped we could perhaps do a live event, which wasn't possible, but we were able to include her in our interview. And what I think is so important about this film, it was made in 2017. And at the time, human trafficking wasn't something people talked about a lot, but it had been in front of the Senate. As soon as Mary finished this film, she arranged for a congressional screening of the film. And this film is directly responsible for legislation that was passed not long after protecting all of the Jane Does. And four of the Jane Does were there when they passed the legislation. And the person who used to think that he was the president signed that legislation. Mm-hmm. But the very important part about this is that today, the same trafficking is still going on. We have a member of the House of Representatives that's currently under investigation for trafficking. We have all of the fallout that's happened with young women that were trafficked on behalf of very prominent individuals. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And all of those things relate directly back to I Am Jane Doe. So understanding where this all comes from and how we can talk about it today, it's essential. It's so very important. Wow. And our conversation with Mary and one of the mothers of the Jane Doe is also very informative afterward.
Yeah. Wow.
I want my daughter to hold her head high and know that none of this was her fault.
I am Jane Doe.
I am Jane Doe.
It's time for us all to stand up and be strong.
I am Jane Doe.
We've been listening to Jeanette Force talk about the Women in Film Festival, which is starting this Friday, running through May 2nd. I have a little more of Jeanette. She has, as you can tell, she has boundless energy for this festival. It's really one of the things that she really loves. And highlight of every year, although the main festival, of course, is also its own highlight. So a few more minutes now with Jeanette Force about Women in Film starting this Friday.
Another one that I am really pretty excited about. It's very, very inspiring. Like a Woman, it's directed by Gail Mooney. And basically, she started looking around for women who were doing non-traditional things. And I mean, we get to meet a woman who is the pilot of the Goodyear blimp. And that was always her goal. That's all she wanted to do was be a blimp pilot. And by gum, she did it. And you meet female car mechanics. You meet women who were not taking no for an answer.
Right.
And there couldn't be a more important question to have. Can I do this? And today, the answer is a resounding yes. Yeah. So this is another film I'd like to get into every classroom in America.
Yeah.
So this is my start, by gum. Yeah.
As a woman, you have to prove yourself a little bit more than the boys. People are always going to check where the girl finished at the end of the race.
Everybody looks over at me. They have this idea that they're going to test me and see if I'm going to be scared.
We'd always talk about if you could do anything in the world, what would it be? I think I want to learn how to fly a helicopter. So I did.
This is a great time to be a woman.
I am one of three active female blimp pilots in the world.
Being a female, you know, is still something new in racing. If you look at Formula E paddock, I'm the only one.
I have a goal, and I'm going to reach it.
Well, this is terrific. The film festival is such an important institution in the film world, really. How many years have you been existing?
Women in Film, this is our eighth, and or the overall, the September, that'll be our 22nd festival.
22nd. And it started as just a flicker of an idea. And
it was just a bunch of wild-eyed film lovers who said, we can totally do this. And that attitude of we can totally do this is absolutely in place today.
Yeah. And of course, we appreciate the films and the filmmakers and the appreciation of the guests who come to share their work of the way we treat them is inspiring every festival. So
I can't tell you, every single one of these directors said, look, I know you're not having a live festival, so could I just come to Port Townsend in September? And I had to say, you know, I don't think we're going to have a live festival then either. And they said, well, I don't care. We'll just come just in case.
Yeah. Well, listen, you know, if they want to come, we'll work on something. We can have a radio and virtual festival with them.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you would love these women. They're so fabulous. You know, Robin Phillips, who would decide to do a documentary on who Shakespeare really was?
Yeah, that looks interesting.
Oh, God, she is such a character. You will really enjoy the interview. She is exactly the way you see her in the film. And I want her to come just because she'll come in costume.
She'll match some of the people in town who dress in different costume. Yeah.
She'd fit right in for sure.
Right. Well, great. So just give us the broad framework again. I know the date is April 23rd through May 2nd. We can go to your website, Port Townsend Film Festival, click Women in Film, and there's a way to sign up to attend the festival there.
Yeah, and that's pretty bomb-proof. If you have any trouble, the Eventive site has a beautiful troubleshooting list of how to figure out what you're doing. And, you know, everybody can't stream films from their television, but many people can stream from their laptops. And all you need is a cable that goes from your laptop to your TV, and you should be fine.
Or if you can screen, I've watched some of these films at a desktop computer.
Oh, absolutely. I definitely do that. Yeah. We really hope you're not watching on your phone, but people do it.
Yeah, listen, I can't understand it, how people have gotten to accept the image on the telephone or listen to the music on the telephone. Yep. I thought we were always striving for higher fidelity and more realistic.
Oh, gosh, we do. And we can't wait to have that control again and guarantee you the very best cinematic experience you could have. That will come back, I promise, but not until everybody is safe.
Right. And of course, this September festival will be your last as the director of the film festival. I want to urge people to listen to Dave Cunningham's Compass interview that he did with you. It's available on our website under KPTZ Podcast and go to the Compass link. And Dave spent a half an hour talking to Jeanette about where she came from, where she's going, and the whole picture of doing this festival for all the years. How many years have you been director?
This will be my 12th season.
Wow. Yeah. The whole life of KPDZ, we're approaching our 10th birthday.
Exactly. I was there.
Yeah. So that's great. Well, Jeanette Forrest, the director of the festival.
Thank you so much, Terry.
Yeah. Oh, it's such a pleasure. Every year I love doing these interviews.
Always a joy.
We'll be doing it again in September. So
yes, we will.
Yeah. Great. Thank you. Right. Women in Film, the eighth Women in Film, part of the Port Townsend Film Festival, April 23rd through May 2nd. Thanks.
My pleasure.
One man changed history. Another man got the credit. The courtly works of Shakespeare were written by a commoner?
I don't think so.
A little clip from a very clever-looking film about the ongoing controversy is always ongoing about who wrote Shakespeare's works. Part of Women in Film, coming this Friday through May 2nd. So go to the Port Townsend Film Festival website, click on Women in Film, and it'll show you how to get your pass to stream Women in Film for you in whatever way you receive them. Quite a lineup of films. KPTZ, Port Townsend, this is Larry Stein. Thank you for being with us.